The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good evening. This is Dr. Gregory Pinto, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for joining us yet again. We have two very special guests in the a friend and a mentor, and his lovely wife, who is also a colleague for the last 7 years at, and now most recently in the last few years, also in Rock Sound Eleuthera. We have the famed, everybody knows, Dr. Grandpa from the lands of Eleuthera. And his lovely wife, who is as bohemian as all of us, Nurse Anita Cates, who is a educator in diabetes, and we're part of the Diabetic Network. So I'd like you just to introduce yourself, Dr. Cates and Nurse Cates.
Great. First of all, thank you, everyone, for having us here. Dr. Pinto, we appreciate this opportunity to be able to speak. So, yeah, as Dr. Pinto has said, my name is Dr. Graham Cates, born and bred in Rock Sound, Eleuthera, the roots of True Island. And we are just excited to be here to share the information with you this evening.
And hi, I'm Nurse Anita Cates, Dr. Cates' wife, the guidance behind all the amazing stuff that he does. And just a little FYI, it's very true what they say about doctors and nurses. And that's how Dr. Cates and I met. And before I knew it, I was on a plane to the Bahamas, and I've been here now for a total of 20 years. So, Doc, you're quite right. I'm as Bahamian as everybody.
Well, they always say a wife is the most important choice you'll ever make in life, and you made a wonderful choice, Dr. Cates. I think that a lot of your success obviously comes from the foundation you have with your marriage, and I know you also do some pastoral work, so you also look at the spirituality of the individual as obviously as well as the physical and the mental. And myself, I would be nothing without my lovely wife, who was born in South Africa and was a model, a lawyer, gave up her career to travel to the little island of New Providence, 21x7, giving up her friends, her family, just to support and love me. And that's, of all the accomplishments in my life, I would say the greatest, obviously, has been finding my wife, someone who loves me more than myself, and obviously the birth of my children and the love I get from them and I give to them. But when we're talking about diabetes, on November 14th is going to be Diabetic National World Awareness Day. So it's an opportune time for us to have diabetic experts in the studio with us. And when we talk about diabetes, as many as 1 in 7 of residents in the country or Bahamians are either pre-diabetic or diabetic, and that's overwhelming. It's a very scary prospect. We have a very unhealthy nation, a very high rate of non-communicable diseases. Some studies have shown that per capita we're the fourth heaviest rate of obesity in the world. That's a very depressing statistic. And when we talk about diabetes, if you have diabetes, you're about 3 times as likely to have depression, and only about 25% of diabetics are actually diagnosed or treated. So we're here to uplift the nation. The health of the nation is the wealth of the nation. And for diabetics in particular, particularly newly diagnosed diabetics, whether they're young or old, they often feel alone, isolated, terrified, and they're lost. They don't know where to go in life. It's not an easy ordeal. It's an expensive ordeal. It basically changes your life in every single way, and it can affect every system of your body. But hopefully we can provide some insight into diabetes and not just be reactionary, but preventative. And I know you are stressed out a lot, Dr. Cates. Let's prevent persons from being diabetic, not just treating diabetics as we diagnose them.
Yeah, so for everyone listening, you know, early detection is really the key when we talk about, obviously, the prevention of diabetes. And this really goes back to making sure that you're getting your annual physicals done. And as a part of your annual physical screening, you are getting a blood test done, which is called your glucose. And so glucose metabolism inside of your body is controlled by many variables. It's controlled by the things that we put into our body, which are all of those starches and carbohydrates. And I'm sure we all know that the Bahamian diet is very carbohydrate driven. When you look at our typical Bahamian plate, two-thirds of the plate is definitely going to be carbs, and the other third is going to be obviously the small amounts of vegetables and also the protein that we have. And so when we look at, obviously, early detection, we want to make sure that you are getting your blood sugars tested and knowing what those numbers actually mean. So it's fine to go to your doctor and get a test done, but if you don't know what it actually means, it really has no relevance. It's like going to your bank account and getting your bank balance, and then you're like, well, what does that mean? So a normal blood sugar is a blood sugar that should be less than 100 on a fasting blood sample. This is when you go to the lab, you have a blood draw, and we run your blood sample and look at what that number is. So less than 100 is your target. If your blood sugar is between 100 up to 126, this puts you into the category which is called prediabetes. Now, some people call it stage 1 diabetes. There are many different, some people call it a slight elevation of the blood sugar, but it is important to understand that this is really step 1 into working towards diabetes. But the good news is that if you identify that your blood sugar is elevated, you can then be proactive in taking steps to reduce your blood sugar. And we will talk a little bit about that a little later on in the show. If your blood sugar is above 126, this is diagnostic for type 2 diabetes. So knowing your numbers is absolutely critically important. Now, once you know your numbers, it gives you information which empowers you to be able to make changes. And those changes are obviously related to many aspects of your life, and we will dig a little bit deeper into those. Before we get into that, we should talk a little bit about, obviously, you know, how do you get diabetes? What are some of the signs and symptoms associated with diabetes? And I'll invite Nurse Cates to jump in here, a diabetes educator, to give us a bit of information on that.
Yeah, certainly. So I'm so glad you mentioned type 2 diabetes, because there is type 1. So the majority of people, especially in the Bahamas, are going to have type 2 diabetes, which is caused mainly by diet, lack of exercise, also possibly genes, you know, how it all runs in the family. So it's more of a lifestyle issue. However, I do want to say that in type 1 diabetes, this is an autoimmune problem. So this is when the pancreas, a wonderful organ in the body that makes insulin, is unable to produce the insulin that it should. And we see this in about 20% of people who have diabetes, have type 1. And that is mainly seen in children. They tend to appear with bedwetting. They may actually be super unwell to the point where they have to go to the hospital. Their blood sugars are extremely high. And the only way they can get treatment is through insulin. And this is not caused by diet. So type 1 diabetes can happen in children. It can happen in teens. But we also are seeing it in adult population too. So I think it's always important to be aware of that when you do have diabetes, that your healthcare professional is to be able to assist you to make a decision on what exactly is going on here. Is this pre-diabetes type 2, or is it type 1? But like we said earlier, the majority of people who we're talking about tonight is going to be in type 2 diabetes.
And another group that we want to mention is a group which are in pregnancy. So we have gestational diabetes, and gestational diabetes is quite common among Bahamian women in pregnancy. And this is where, because of the hormonal changes that are happening during pregnancy, there is a elevation during pregnancy of the blood sugars, which is known as gestational diabetes. And that often, again, is managed through a multidisciplinary approach with your gynecologist, endocrinologist, diabetes educator, and your healthcare professionals. And so, you know, there are many different types. There's type 1, there's type 2, there's gestational diabetes. Those are the common ones. And as we've already said, for type 2, which is by far the commonest, there are predisposing factors, the lifestyle that we live. You know, when we talk about lifestyle, we're talking about nutrition, we're talking about exercise, we're talking about weight, body weight. You know, bigger is not always better. And despite popular belief, you know, when we talk about people being big boned, it's not necessarily big boned, is that unfortunately people are just too big. And globally, we're seeing a growing number of persons that are obese. And obesity is a direct relationship. There is a direct relationship with obesity and type 2 diabetes, the development of diabetes. And then that family history that you mentioned.
Yes.
Another important thing to know is, you know, what is your family history? You know, ask your parents, ask your grandparents. And this is not true just for diabetes, but for any many other medical conditions, if you really want to know what is that family history, because that helps us to be aware. It helps us to be able to mitigate or reduce the risk associated with our level of possibly developing a chronic medical illness such as diabetes. When we talk about diabetes, we also want to make you aware, Anita already started the conversation about some of the signs and symptoms associated with the commonest type of diabetes, which is type 2 diabetes. So if you start from the top of your body and you work your way down, the first area that you may notice is blurring of your vision. So the reason that this happens is that the high concentrations of glucose inside the lens of the eye causes you to have blurring of your vision. And Anita and I have had so many stories where patients have actually been to their optometrist, their ophthalmologist, and they've been given glasses, only to later find out, oh my gosh, I have diabetes, because obviously their vision has changed. Another common thing may be persons may experience excessive thirst, where you just feel as though you just cannot quench your thirst and you are just drinking fluids all the time. And then often you find that people are drinking the juices or the sodas or the things that are obviously just further driving their blood sugars up, that then continues to exacerbate the primary symptom that they're having. And then along with this, you have the urinary frequency that patients experience because of the excess glucose that's being excreted inside of the urine, the numbness, the tingling inside of the hands. Women are at increased risk of vaginal yeast infections. And then also you may have poor wound healing, where you may get a little scratch on the leg or the foot, and then you're like, well, this doesn't make any sense. I now have a sore, or this has become infected and it's not getting any better. And so these are some of the things that you want to be mindful of and know the signs and symptoms. And if you are experiencing any of these, you definitely want to make sure that you reach out to your healthcare provider, go and get your blood sugar checked. And there is also a role for another test, which is called an A1C. And I'll invite Anita to speak into the role of A1C testing and what is an A1C?
What a great question. So, yeah, you may see on your requisition that your doctor has done for you to check for diabetes is called an HbA1C or an A1C test. And this is to check for a percentage of glucose within the red blood cells to find out if you have levels that are above the normal. So you might need to just grab a pen and paper here. So a normal range for an HbA1c test is anything less than 5.5. 5.6%. Now, when we're getting into 5.7 to 6.4%, that's a real indicator that this is pre-diabetes. And anything above 6.5 is a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, along with the possibility of having an elevated blood glucose as well, a fasting blood glucose. And obviously, there's another test, which I'm so glad you mentioned earlier about in pregnancy. And those ladies that are out there will remember having to chug some very sweet juice and then having to have bloods tested. And that's called a glucose tolerance test to find out if your blood sugar has gone over, I believe it's 140 at the 1 hour mark, and if it's gone above 200 at the 2 hour mark, I believe.
Yeah.
So there are these tests that we can really look at. And I do want to say, and Dr. Cates, you came up with a very, very good point regarding all of the symptoms. Often there are no symptoms. And that is why your annual physical is vitally important, because we can catch it before you have any symptoms. Often those symptoms occur, which Dr. Kate spoke about, happen when the blood sugars are in the 200-300s. So it's a little bit too late then, but to know that those are the symptoms and to know that there are sometimes when there are no symptoms at all.
So the take-home message is we want to prevent diabetes from happening, whether that's starting at the childhood or even infancy in terms of encouraging breastfeeding. If you are going to be formula fed or a mix of breast and formula, that you are taking in the correct number of calories. You want to make sure that you don't have increased body mass index or obesity as a child. That's going to predispose you to having diabetes. We're a very sedentary nation. Too many from childhood to teenage to young adult to elderly and middle age in between. We don't walk enough. We don't exercise enough. We don't participate in sports. That all puts us at risk in terms of the social risks of developing diabetes. So there are things that we can do. Even if you have a strong family history, a familial history of diabetes, if you can lower your body mass index, if you can have a proper, well-balanced diet, and Dr. Cates and Nita, you can speak more about that. We have environmental hazards. We need to avoid them. Make sure that we do have physical activity and do something that you love. I always preach that. And do it in groups. You're not going to stick with it. If you don't like to swim, then don't swim. If you don't like going to the gym, if you like playing volleyball, that's an excellent source of it, of exercise. If you like to play soccer in groups where you encourage each other. And if you want to walk, walk in a group. So even if one day you don't feel like doing it, your friend's going to pull you along, and you could do the same for him 2 weeks, 3 weeks later. But there's so many devastating things that can happen with diabetes. There's nothing to play with. I had to go through general surgery before I became a urologist, and it's heartbreaking to see the ill effects of diabetes. Or I'm not even going to get into the dozens and dozens of people in this country who are unfortunately on dialysis because they either were diagnosed with diabetes and refused to accept it. That's too many. It's said to me too many times, and I'm sure to you, Dr. Cakes, I just don't accept it. I don't accept that I'm a diabetic. I don't accept that I have high blood pressure. I walk every day. I don't add salt to my diet. I don't have blurry vision. I'm fine. The blood test must be wrong. But you're going to internally destroy yourself. And when I talk about it affects the cardiovascular system, it affects you in terms of developing a diabetic foot, where you mentioned earlier, Dr. Cates, you have poor wound healing. So literally, when I had to rotate through many subspecialties of general surgery, but when I was on the vascular team, it was heartbreaking to see, and even when we were doing acute surgery, first you start about with a diabetic toe, where we amputate the toe, then we amputate the forefoot, then the hind foot, then it goes up to above the ankle, then above the knee, then all the way above, it just goes all the way to the hip. So please know your numbers. You always preach that, Dr. Cates, that whether that's HbA1c, whether that's your creatinine, your BUN, your GFR numbers, you need to know what your PSA. Prostate cancer also has little to no symptoms until it's too late. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about diabetes, and I thank again Dr. Cates and Nurse Anita Cates for joining me. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall, she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Gregory Pinto, and I'm joined. It's my pleasure to have my colleague and friends, Dr. Graham Cates and Nurse Anita Cates, and we're here talking about diabetes in anticipation of Diabetes Awareness Day, which is going to be next week on November 14th, next week Thursday. So we're trying to be proactive. That's what we're trying to stress. Let's prevent diabetes before it happens. 1 in 7 Bahamian residents are either pre-diabetic or diabetic. That's a horrific figure. Let's prevent at least one individual, yes, and hopefully dozens,
yes,
from going down that track.
Absolutely.
But there are lights at the end of the tunnel. I mean, there over the last several years have been several advances in terms of technology. I'll let you enlighten us in regards to that. But even in terms of, from my limited knowledge, being a urologist, continuous glucose monitoring, in terms of you not having to prick yourself, obviously you have to do it now and then, but that's one of the worst things that a diabetic, and that's why they don't do it, is to check their own sugar. They hate needles, Bahamian hate needles, but if you can do continuous glucose monitoring, I mean, you can basically measure the glucose levels in the fluid between the cells, which helps diabetics control glucose throughout the day. So you know what is the impact of your glucose when you exercise? What's the impact if you've had a certain meal? Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Oh, I would love to. This is my favorite topic. And you're quite right. The advances have been phenomenal. I would say within the past 7 to 10 years when it comes to continuous glucose monitoring. And for those of you who are watching on online, I'm actually wearing a continuous glucose monitor right now. I'm trying it out, and I've got a secret to share with you. Is that okay? Can
please,
I share
please
a little
go
secret?
Go right ahead.
So we were doing Halloween over at the community center, and I got a really nice bag of Hershey's cookies and cream Dracula teeth, and I think I consumed 5 in one go. And then I heard an alarm on my phone to explain that my blood sugar had increased significantly. So in terms of prevention, and continuous glucose monitoring, the awareness of what you put into your mouth, the awareness of exercise, the awareness of stress in women, times of the month, menopause, is so helpful in the prevention and the management of diabetes, whether that's pre-diabetes, whether that's type 1. It's CGM, continuous glucose monitoring, is imperative in type 1 diabetes and also type 2. Yes, we can definitely talk more about this. And we will be actually talking more about this on the 19th of November. It's a Tuesday. We have an online session. Join us. You can go online and it's free. And we're going to be talking to the general public about continuous glucose monitoring and the ups and downs, the positives and the negatives, but how it can have a huge positive impact on your life in the prevention of diabetes and the management. For the healthcare professionals out there as well, we have a session on the 26th of November, just for you, with all of the research and all of the data, just to show how wonderful it is. So, Doc, I mean, we're looking at technology now with diabetes, but we know that we have 58% chance of not getting type 2 diabetes if you can lose 10% of your body weight. So, if you weigh in 200 pounds, 10% is 20 pounds. That can make a huge difference in the development of diabetes. Exercise, and we're looking about 2 to 3 times a week in terms of exercise. Now, I do actually notice, Dr. Pinto, you are wearing a watch, an iPhone watch. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me how many steps you've done today? And I'm going to tell you how many steps I've done.
Not many. I've been sitting in the office all day.
You're going to bail out. You can't bail out. No, come on, Doug.
You're calling him out.
Today was an odd day because I was in office all day and then operating, so I'm standing still.
Okay. Anyway, so just for the audience and just for Dr. Pinto, he reached over 10,000 steps today. I'll make him feel better. So if you do have, we were talking about technology, 10,000 steps a day, and you can collect those however you want through walking in the morning, through taking the stairs at work, but 10,000 steps is a magic number.
That's
so
the
exercise.
Magic number.
Is really important in the prevention and management of diabetes. We can have Fitbits, we have things on our phone now, we have our watches. And the other thing is, and I cannot iterate this more, I've just shared with you, I ate nearly a full bag of Hershey's Kisses, Hershey's teeth. We have to cut down on our sugar. If I've seen the sugar spike in my glucose level and I don't have diabetes or pre-diabetes, it's going to be really high. So please consider cutting down on the sugars, cutting down on the processed food to help to prevent diabetes.
Yeah, prevention is really so important. And that's one of the messages that we really want to provide you with tonight, is that there is an opportunity to be able to help to prevent and significantly reduce your risk of diabetes. And lifestyle is a key factor, and you know, in things that we've already spoken about, the nutrition, the exercise, the weight management, obviously making sure that you are getting your regular checkups so you know what your numbers are. But I just want to go back to the question about continuous glucose monitoring and the role of continuous glucose monitoring. So continuous glucose monitoring, for those of you who are not familiar with it, allows us to be able to use a small device that sits right on the surface of your skin. And it measures the glucose just under the surface of your skin. This is not a needle. This is a little small plastic microscopic piece that just sits right under the surface of your skin. And it's applied very simply with an applicator to the back of your arm, which is where Nurse Kate has hers on right now. And this is used in the monitoring of your blood sugars. And so there are different monitoring techniques that are available. You have the finger sticks, obviously, that you can do. You have the Freestyle Libre, or the intermittent glucose monitoring that's available, which also has a little small patch that goes on the back of the arm. And then you scan it, and it's able to give you your glucose numbers. And then finally is the continuous glucose monitoring, where this device is actually connected to your phone, and it's constantly, every 5 minutes to 15 minutes, providing you with data associated with what it is that is going on inside of your body. And when I speak to my patients about this, I explain it to them as though this is a gas gauge. So this is the gas gauge in your car that's telling you, do I have enough fuel to be able to get from here to home? Or do I need to stop to the gas station to fill up? Or am I just wasting my time stopping to the gas station because I already have enough fuel and I actually need to burn off some fuel? Otherwise, my tank is going to be overfull. And this helps us to be able to craft a way to help you to learn, okay, well, what are the things that I need to do? How are my foods affecting my blood sugar? How is my exercise affecting my blood sugar? How is my stress at work and at home affecting my blood sugar? And you know, diabetes is a condition, as we've already said, that affects every aspect of your life. And when we work with diabetic patients, we're not just interested in how to manage your blood sugar, but we are interested in how to manage your life. How are you managing your emotional well-being? How are you managing your spiritual well-being? How are you doing in terms of just social interactions that you have with friends and family? Because this is who we are. These are all such important components that help us, obviously, to be the people that we want to be. And diabetes, yes, is a condition that can have adverse effects associated with it, but it is not necessary. And if there is one message that you take home tonight about diabetes, is one, is that diabetes is preventable by helping to obviously live a healthy lifestyle. Does it guarantee that you're not going to get diabetes? No. But also recognize that if you have diabetes, it is not a death sentence, is it, Anita?
Oh, I am so glad you mentioned that. It's because it's just so... Actually, I believe we have a call.
Yes, let's take that call. Good evening.
Good evening. How y'all doing?
Hi,
we're
good
great.
Evening.
Welcome.
Wonderful. Dr. Pinto.
Yes, sir.
The hardest man in the world to catch up with.
Well, I hope I'll take that in a good way, because I'm everywhere trying to do everything to
I
help everybody.
I guess that makes two of us,
yes,
Greg.
Yes, yes,
I guess so.
Good evening, sir.
Dr. Pinto, you don't work with the hospital anymore.
At Princess Margaret, unfortunately, no.
Okay, so then you would have to come to see you at your office.
Well, I'm doing part of my public service right now, volunteering my time, and I've been writing newspaper articles regarding promoting health in this country every single week for the last 7 years. So I do my part.
Okay, good. Great. Now, suppose I tell you and your panel that I had diabetes type 2 for more than 40 years. And that all of my doctors and everybody told me, well, that's a lifelong disease. You'll have it for the rest of your life. I graduated from pills to insulin 3 times a day until I met an old lady at the hospital. And she told me to mix the flesh of the aloe along with a big can of bluebird orange juice. She said, stay on that regimen for 8 to 10 weeks, and they can't find your sugar. That's what she told me, just say that on the ward. And 3 months later, Dr. Pinto and your panelists, that has been almost 9 years ago. My body regulated itself and started to deal with the sugars in my blood. Now, I have a friend, two doctors that lives in Australia. They deal with that too. And they come for junk canoe every year, 2 weeks out of the year, they come for junk canoe. And speaking to them about the diabetes, they found out that diabetes, especially type 2, is curable. And it has nothing really to do, this is what they told me, with the amount of sugars or starches or rice and stuff that you eat. But there is a negative bacteria that somehow gets in the blood and prohibits the pancreas and stuff from doing what it needs to do, and it's called Proteus. They said if you can kill the Proteus, you can cure yourself of diabetes. The Proteus gets in the blood. It's not very easy to detect, but that is the cause of most of the diabetes. I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Well, I'll just start with my limited knowledge. I'm not the expert on diabetes, but there is a lot of wonderful, in terms of technology and in terms of promising clinical human trials that are hopefully going to turn the tide and one day will not only cure type 1 and type 2 diabetes, but we can even prevent it. So their FDA actually approved an antibody called Tizilid that works by protecting the body's own insulin-producing cells. So it basically delays the progression of type 1 diabetes. And that's an FDA-approved drug, recently approved. Just in terms of promising research, there's beta cell regeneration, there's immunotherapy, which are promising diabetic treatments. There's stem cell therapy as well. And I mean, immunotherapy aims to regulate the immune response and prevent the beta cell destruction commonly seen in diabetes. So there are a lot of things on the horizon. But the most important thing is, we'll go to the beginning of what we spoke about, know your numbers. So even if you want to go off on a tangent and employ whatever management you want, know your HbA1c, because that will tell us within the last 3 months, how is your body dealing with the sugar? You can do a random sugar and it can be near normal. But if your HbA1c is awry, then you're in trouble. Any more thoughts?
I agree 100%, Dr. Pinto, that, you know, first of all, we do know that there is a subgroup of patients with type 2 diabetes that is absolutely reversible. And we use the term curable a little bit loosely in the fact that obviously persons are going to always be predisposed towards diabetes, but we can control and regulate their blood sugars with no medication at all. And we have patients within our practice that are currently not on any medications or just on lifestyle management associated with controlling and regulating their blood sugars. So that is very possible. And this is why it's so important to have a good relationship with your healthcare provider so that they can be following you up and you can be working closely with your healthcare provider to make sure that you're doing everything that you possibly can to reduce, obviously, your risk of diabetes. And if you do have diabetes, how do you go about managing it and working with you? You know, we never believe in throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? There's a combination of things that are used. And there are naturopathic things that are very helpful in blood glucose regulation. We have an amazing nutritionist who works with us, Ms. Strawn at our practice, who does a lot of, obviously, supplementation in our patient population. And we know that these things work. But again, we must know our numbers. We must be monitoring our blood sugars to see where are we, what's happening. As I said earlier, it's like having that working gas gauge in your car. If you don't have a working gas gauge, you're going to be one of those people on Tanique Darling Highway breaking down in the middle of the day or in the middle of the night and looking for a Jerry drug to come and try to find some gas. And we do not want you to be in that situation. And there are many advances that are happening in medications. There are new classes of medications that have been developed that are being used in the treatment of and the prevention of diabetes in high-risk populations. Earlier, we were talking about pre-diabetes, and we know that there are numerous studies that have been done looking at the use of particular types of medications in pre-diabetes and the prevention of its progress associated to diabetes. The new generation drugs that are being used in terms of weight management and weight reduction. We were talking about this a little bit earlier before we came online, the Ozempics. These medications obviously help to obviously change the tide. They are changing the way that your body is responding to the glucoses that you are ingesting, and thereby reversing what is happening inside of your body, reducing your blood glucoses, reducing your body weight. And as you do so, you reduce your insulin resistance. Reducing your insulin resistance means that you are significantly reducing your risk of the development of diabetes. Does it completely eliminate it? No, there are never any guarantees. But does it significantly help? Absolutely. And that's what we want to do, empower people with information so that you can make healthy decisions that over the long term are going to have positive effects on your overall health and well-being. And we're not just talking about your sugar and your diabetes, but we're talking about you as a person, you as a father, you as a provider to the family, you as the mother looking after the children in the household, you as the mother going out and being the breadwinner for your family so that you can be the best person that you possibly can be.
Yes, of course, we're always trying to promote a healthy nation and not just longevity, but quality years on this earth, both mental, physical, and, of course, spiritual. I'd be remiss if I weren't to mention that, of course, this is an interactive show. I thank you for that call earlier. But you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line at 422-4796. You can call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 326-4259 or call toll-free from the Family Islands 242-300-5720. So I think I'll use a segue of you just mentioning weight loss, and we talk about Ozempic. What is the Ozempic safety profile? Is it safe for everyone? Once you start and you see the results on Ozempic, do you wean yourself for Ozempic? Do you just stop?
So this is the latest and greatest craze in medicine right now. I mean, everybody all over the world is tapping into the Ozempic market. You're seeing it advertised all over the television, and there are several medications that fit into this class of drugs. And these medications obviously help us to be able to obviously regulate glucose levels inside of the bloodstream in diabetics, but in non-diabetics are also very useful at helping with weight reduction and weight loss. So, you know, some people obviously are going to get this stuff off the internet, and I'm seeing that more and more commonly placed. That is not my recommendation. My recommendation is that, you know, this is a conversation to have with your healthcare provider. As with every medication, there can be side effects, but then there are also benefits associated with using this particular class of medication. And so this is a great conversation to be able to have with your healthcare provider to know, okay, what is the starting dose? You don't start at a high dose, you start at a low dose, and you titrate the dose up based on the responsiveness to the medication. Also, when you're coming off the medication, you want to make sure that you're having a conversation with your healthcare provider so that you can wean yourself off of the medication. You know, one of the greatest tragedies that I'm seeing with the new generation of drugs that is being used is not the side effects, but the after effects. So this is when people stop taking these medications. They've not made any behavioral changes. They've not changed the way that they're eating. They're not exercising. They're not looking after themselves in terms of their health and well-being. And then they stop using the medication, and then they're back 60, 80, 100 pounds plus to where they were when they first started using the medication. And so as with all things, these are tools that are available to us. It's just like bariatric surgery, for example, that is used in patients with morbid obesity. Bariatric surgery is a tool as a part of a solution to provide long-term longevity, right? Exactly what we're talking about, prevention of complications, helping to improve quality of life, not just for you, but for you as a part of the society, part as a family. Obviously, it is able to then contribute positively back into the community. And so everything has to be used in the right context. It has to be used under the right professional guidelines. You know, one of the things that I talk to patients about, we got a call coming in, which we're going to take in just a minute, is that, you know, you have a lawyer, you have an accountant, you have a priest, and you have a doctor and other people in your lives. And there's a reason for that. You do not know everything. And we are here to be able to empower you with information, to assist you, recognizing that our job is the 10% and your job is the 90%. And we're going to take a call.
Go ahead. Good evening.
Hi, good evening to all the doctors and to Nurse Kate. I just wanted to just provide some input regarding the Ozempic crave and an experience that I had recently. I'm a 50-year-old female. Of course, going through the change, as so people would call it, and hormones are just all over the place. And I recently changed gynecologist because I was having an issue and I didn't feel as if the prior one was actually being thorough enough. And anyway, long story short, she tested my sugar levels because she was concerned that my body was storing too much fat or not using the insulin the way that it ought to use it because of certain things that she noticed when she examined me in my outward appearance. So anyway, she tested the insulin levels, and sure enough, she said that my sugar level was a bit on the high side where I was pre-diabetic. So she suggested that I go on Ozempic. However, I have a pre-existing condition called bile acid malabsorption. And because of that, the Ozempic is highly not recommended for persons like myself because of my pre-existing stomach condition, which I checked out with my gastroenterologist. Anyway, so it's just a matter of making sure that you're talking, like Dr. Kate said, you have all these different people, and you know, there's some of us who see more than one doctor because we have more than one condition. But it's important that you know you check certain things with other doctors. It didn't even dawn on me to even mention the stomach issue to my gynecologist, but I thought about when I read online about the Ozempic, I said, okay, I better check with my gastroenterologist to make sure this is something that I can take because of my stomach issues, my stomach condition. He obviously said that he highly suggested that I not take the Ozempic. So anyway, to cut a long story short, she put me on Glucophage, which I think it's the generic form for metformin, or I might have it the other way around. Metformin might be the generic form for Glucophage.
Right, correct. Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So she has me on Glucophage, and I have to be tested in January to see if that has helped with the numbers. Again, I was so hoping that I could go on the Ozempic because I wanted to lose the weight very quickly. But unfortunately, I can't take because of the recommendation of the doctors. Once I mentioned it to the gynecologist, she agreed with the gastroenterologist that I would not be a candidate for the Ozempic. So anyway, she has me on the Glucophage, and like you say, you really have to, your body really needs to work its way up to those meds because, I don't know if it's because of my bile acid malabsorption condition, but I had a really bad start with the Glucophage. My body really, really, really took a while to really adjust to the medication. You know, she wanted to put me on one tablet, three tablets. Well, she wanted me to start off with just one tablet a night and then work it up to two and then eventually do three tablets a day, three times a day. But I couldn't do that because it just, the way that it made my body feel, I told I wouldn't be able to function during the day. Sure. So I'm taking it at night. So anyway, I'm hoping that when I get retested in January that the numbers have gone down. But have you had any experience with the Glucophage as a means of addressing, I guess, someone who's pre-diabetic to see if that has actually been something that is helping? I mean, I've not lost any real weight, so it's not one of the miracle ones like Ozempic, but I mean, that's not really a big part of it. You know, I just want to make sure that the medication is actually regulating or making sure that my body uses the insulin the way that it's supposed to. That's a mouthful. I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Wonderful story that you've shared, and it's brought up a number of things that I'd like to speak into, and I'll invite Anita to speak into a couple of the things. So number one is the importance of having a primary care physician, okay? So primary care physicians are family physicians that are trained in family health care, and we provide a wide bandwidth of obviously knowledge. No, we don't know everything, but we are looking at the person from a very holistic point of view, and I encourage everybody, you know, you should have a primary care physician that you're going to who is able to look after your health needs. And we tap into the experts of our professionals, our consultants, the specialists such as the urologist, the endocrinologist, the gynecologist. That's number one. The second one is obviously being able to discuss with your physician, obviously, your health and understanding that these impacts on your general health and well-being are important. We want to know your medical history. We want to know what your family history is because this helps us to make decisions, as the caller has rightly indicated, that this particular medication for her was contraindicated. Related to the management of prediabetes, yes, Glucophage or metformin has been demonstrated in the medical literature time and time again to have a positive outcome associated with, one, the prevention of diabetes, and two, the reversing of prediabetes. And the primary means that mechanism is associated with reducing insulin resistance. So one of the biggest driving factors associated with the development of prediabetes and diabetes is insulin resistance, where your cells inside of your body, it's like a lock and key mechanism, if you can imagine. So what happens in response to glucose levels? When you eat, sugar is absorbed into your bloodstream. Under the influence of insulin that is released by your pancreas, it attaches onto your cell and opens up gates. These gates allow for the glucose to move into your blood cells, your cells outside of the bloodstream. Well, if that mechanism of the movement of glucose out of your bloodstream and into your cells is not working efficiently, you're going to get a natural accumulation of glucose inside of the blood. And so obviously by using glucophage or metformin, that is one of the medications that is certainly used in the treatment of prediabetes and the prevention or progression of patients onto diabetes, when used in conjunction with overall healthy lifestyle management. So I want to just invite Anita here to jump in and talk a little bit about the role of carbohydrates or starches in the diet, because I think there's a lot of misinformation in the community, or people don't even understand what are carbohydrates, what are starches in our diet. And people just think very one-dimensionally. But a lot of stuff that we eat every single day is full of sugars and carbohydrates.
Okay, we'll speak further on this on the other end of the break. This is Urologist Speaks with behemoth urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto and my wonderful guests, Dr. Graham Cates and nurse Anita Cates. Thank you.
It turns out that there is more than one special gift to give that special someone this Christmas. Consumers are searching for the perfect presents and the right prices. So why not place your products or services in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide? And this year's Christmas shoppers will be sure to find that special something for everyone on their list. For an all-inclusive price, you can have your ads published twice in December in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide, in addition to 10, 15, and 30-second commercials, and not to mention a web ad on the Nassau Guardian's website. Advertising deadline, remember, is November 29th. For more information, contact your sales agents or call the Nassau Guardian Advertising Department at 302-2300. That's 302-2300. And ask about our Holiday Gift Guide Media Bundle. You don't want to miss this opportunity. Ring in those holiday profits by placing an ad in the Nassau Guardian Holiday Gift Guide.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. This is Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto and my guests, Bahamian Dr. Graham Cates and Bahamian nurse Anita Cates. So we're talking about weight loss. There is no easy solution. Ozempic is right for some, but you always got to treat the root cause. And if the root cause is low testosterone, that's a pandemic in this country. If it's obstructive sleep apnea, which is a pandemic for women and men of all ages, where a lot of us don't even understand that is such an, there's an entity where you essentially stop breathing for a few seconds, several times a night. You're having hypoxia, you're not having enough REM sleep, deep rapid eye movement sleep. For men, the testosterone that you use up throughout the day is never being replenished. When you have low testosterone, that's going to cause you to have worsening sleep apnea, which is going to cause you to be obese, which is going to make the sleep apnea worse, which is going to make the low testosterone worse. So, yeah, you can take Ozempic. You might be able to lose weight. for a certain period. But if we don't treat the root cause, that low testosterone is going to cause you to possibly be at risk for developing metabolic syndrome. And if you're not a diabetic, you may develop type 2 diabetes later in life. You might have issues of hypercholesterolemia when you have low testosterone. Testosterone is important for protecting the cardiovascular system. When you have untreated obstructive sleep apnea, and Dr. Cates will attest to this, it's a pandemic in this country. It's killing way too many people in the prime of their life. They never addressed it. It increases your risk of stroke and heart attack exponentially. It's going to reduce the number of years you're going to have on this earth. So if you have any inkling that you have obstructive sleep apnea, please let us test you and address it and get you on the right path. You'll feel like a new individual. There was a German study with over 28,000 men participants over almost 18 years, and it found that the average man who had obstructive sleep apnea, actually, if you treat the sleep apnea and improve the testosterone to within the normal range, the average person was losing 50 to 70 pounds. So it can be life-changing. Talk a little bit about sleep apnea, Dr. Cates.
Yeah, so sleep apnea in family practice. So at Family Medicine Center, we have five primary care physicians, and we're screening patients for sleep apnea all day. I want to challenge everybody who's listening, take a minute and Google sleep apnea and stop BANG questionnaire, S-T-O-P, BANG, B-A-N-G questionnaire. It's a very simple questionnaire that you can complete. This questionnaire helps you to determine, are you at risk of sleep apnea? And obviously, there are all of the various questions associated with it. Literally, it will take you 30 seconds to be able to complete it, but it could be life-saving. So sleep apnea is a very common medical condition, often not noticed, where literally you stop breathing during the night. I just tested a patient for sleep apnea, one of my patients, and a normal oxygen level, when we measure it inside of your bloodstream, should be between basically 98 to 100. That's where most people are going to be. This individual dropped their oxygen saturation to 76% inside of their bloodstream. I mean, if you were to be seen inside of the emergency department or any healthcare facility with an oxygen saturation of 76%, we would be panicking, not panicking, but putting you on oxygen for sure and saying, hey, look, we have a very serious problem here. And there are people every single night of their lives that are going through oxygen deprivation, poor quality of sleep, a loss of hormonal balances inside of the body, which then leads to long-term health consequences. And every organ system is damaged. I mean, dementia is increased, cardiovascular disease is increased, pulmonary disease is increased, you're at greater risk of hypertension, of diabetes, of obesity, of high cholesterol, and the list goes on and on and on. And the good news about this is that, one, there are easy testings that can be done. We offer them here at Family Medicine Center. There are many other sites that you can be tested for sleep apnea. And then there are simple treatment options that are available. Sometimes it may just be lifestyle. Sometimes it can be dental appliances that can be used. And for some patients, it may be something which is called a CPAP machine, which helps to breathe and open up the airways during the night. And these are life-saving and also obviously just life-changing. Once you fix the underlying problem, you are then obviously able to have a huge improvement in your quality of life. And so anything that we can do to improve quality of life is just such an essential and important part of our overall health and well-being. I just want to go back to the question that I had thrown out to Anita just before we had run the break, which is about starches and carbohydrates, because I think this is a really important thing for us to understand. And I'll just give you an example. This morning, I had the opportunity to see one of my patients, and you know, as far as he was thinking, he was doing fantastic. And he had started smoothies in the morning. So smoothies in the morning, he had been told, was a great way to start the day. It's got lots of great vitamins. You have all of your fruits inside of there, and it's just going to be good for you. Well, unfortunately, one of the things that we were able to explore in our conversation today is how much sugar he was actually getting in that smoothie first thing in the morning with the amount of fruits that he was putting into it. And so, yes, fruits are good for us, but they have to be in the right amount.
Absolutely. And I like the way you said the right amount. And so carbohydrates are often seen as the bad guy, but we all love carbohydrates. So what are carbohydrates? Well, there are three food groups. There are fats, which I think we all know what fats are, which are your butters, your creams. There is your protein food group, which are your meats. And then we have carbohydrates. And we have something called complex carbohydrates, which would include things like your rice, your pastas,
so macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I always seem to be the bearer of bad news. But yeah, macaroni and cheese, peas and rice, coleslaw. Now, I'm saying coleslaw if you put sugar in there. And I know a lot of people are doing that. If you don't put in there, then there is a tiny amount of carbohydrate actually in vegetables. So vegetables do have a small amount. Those are the ones that grow above the ground. Those veggies that grow beneath the ground, potatoes, cassava, have high amounts of sugar in them. So basically that they're like molecules of sugars which are together, but when they're broken down in the system, they go to simple sugars, which make the sugar go high. Another type of carbohydrate that I particularly love, and I know you like this, fried plantain. Plantain does contain a lot of carbohydrates. So does corn as well. Now, contrary to belief, peas and beans do have protein, but it's not an actual protein source. They still have a high amount of carbohydrates. So we love plantain. We love peas and rice, mac and cheese. It's not off the agenda, but it's important to do portion sizes. And what I love to tell my patients is, what can you get away with? And using glucose monitoring, whether that's through a finger stick or continuous glucose monitoring, we can figure out how much of the peas and rice can you have without spiking your blood sugar too high. It's about balance. And like Dr. Pinto was saying, it's about the quality of life. And one of the ways in which we enjoy our lives is through what we eat. So I highly recommend anybody who is on a weight loss journey or who has been told they have prediabetes or diabetes, whether it's type 1 or type 2, that they actually see a nutritionist who can guide them not only on the right nutrition for health, but on the right nutrition for what you want for yourself. So that's really important. We got Christmas coming up. So it's really important that you figure that out. And we can help you with that through continuous glucose monitoring over at Family Medicine and also through nutritionists too.
Well, I think those are very wise words. Everything in moderation, except we'll never accept you cigarette smoking.
Definitely.
So this hour has gone very quickly. I have to invite you both back as soon as you're available. You have fascinating information, and there's a lot more I'm sure that you can impart to the community. Just on a personal note, I just like to say that I came back to Nassau after being away for 7 years. And with any specialist who comes back home after many years, you come back hopelessly in debt. You have your consultant degree, you have your fellowship degree, but that doesn't pay the rent, that doesn't put food on the table, and you may have all the skills and knowledge in the world, but without an opportunity to help your people. And that's why many of us who go off and specialize and go throughout the world to try to get skills and bring back advanced technology and the cutting edge in terms of medical technology and medicine, we need an opportunity. And I would say that there were two people that were instrumental in providing me an opportunity within a week of me arriving back in Nassau. One was Dr. Graham Cates, who opened his arms to me and invited me to Family Medicine Center and the network of physicians. And provided an opportunity for me to thrive. And the other one was like a big brother to me, the CEO of Doctors Hospital, Dr. Charles Diggus, also a general surgeon who also did the same thing. In fact, he even provided me 2 years of rent-free in office. So thank you, Dr. Cates.
Pleasure.
I'll never forget the chance you gave me. And I hope you can come back and enjoy another hour with us on the Urologist Speaks.
We would love to come back. Thank you very much for having us, and enjoy the evening, everyone.
Okay. And next week, we'll talk about Movember, which is where we're going to put a highlight in November on male health, particularly looking at preventing of and management of prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and mental well-being for men. Stay tuned to next week, and thank you for an enjoyable evening. And again, Nurse Cates, Dr. Cates, a pleasure.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Every urologist speak. Oh, yeah.